Hello, it's Thursday, March 23rd, and you're listening to Wing Radio. I'm Lisa Giuliani.
And I'm Victor Thorne. Welcome to Wing Radio, which can be found at www.wingtv.net. We're glad everybody's tuning in today. And before we bring our guest on, we just have to let everybody know that last night was somewhat of a historic event. CNN actually ran the Charlie Sheen story to open up its broadcast at 8 o'clock last night. And I have to say that it definitely leaned more towards the 9/11 truth movement than vice versa, don't you think?
Yeah, it was a show called Showbiz Tonight, and they featured Webster Tarpley, a member of 9/11truth.org, Michael Berger. They had Charlie Sheen's statements on there, and then they had a representative from National Geographic who failed utterly to refute the argument that the World Trade Center collapses and the events of 9/11 didn't happen the way the government says they did.
Yeah, I don't think you could have a more unconvincing guest on her than this woman from National Geographic. And even the host of the show on CNN was leaning towards the 9/11 truth, the controlled demolition, and so forth. So we're going to have another article on tomorrow.
Also, I heard that something also aired on Fox last night, so if anybody has any information on that, please let us know.
Yeah, great strides are being made here, and the truth is getting out. So all this hard work for the last 4.5+ years
has not been in vain.
That's right, it's paying off. Now, our guest today is Mr. Paul Tepeti. He's a member of the band Poker Face, which is not only a rock and roll band, a music band, but also a politically oriented band, which makes them even more, I guess, looked up to in our eyes. And we had the great fortune to see them play live in November of 2002 at the Mall down in Washington, D.C., where they were at Bob Schultz's We the People anti-IRS rally. And we hope one of these days soon we get to see them again. So we'd like to welcome Mr. Paul Tepeti to Wing TV. How you doing, Paul?
Hello, Vic. Hello, Lisa. Thanks for having me on.
Hi, Paul.
That's great.
You know, Poker Face is one of my favorite bands. They are pro-American. Your song lyrics focus greatly on freedom and patriotism. And why certain people want to cast this in a negative light, I don't know. What's wrong with being patriotic?
I know, that's what we keep asking. Paul, before we get into everything, let everybody know how they can find your website, how they can find your CDs, and anything else.
Okay, you can reach us at PokerFace, one word, at PokerFace.com. That's for email. Go to our website at PokerFace.com. You can contact us by the phone at 610-434-8775. Please leave a message. And you can mail us at Post Office Box 9200, Allentown, one word, like the song that Billy Joel sang it. Allentown, Pennsylvania, 18105, and we'd love to hear from you.
And at the end of the show today, we're going to play a song from their CD. It's called Made in America, the name of the CD. And the song is called Prayer for America. And I would say right now, America needs a prayer. So, Paul, let's get into, we're going to get into all the specifics about what's been happening with the band lately. But right now, give us a brief overview of what recently happened at Rutgers University in regard to Poker Face.
Let's see. Rutgers University, we're supposed to play there February 25th for the New Jersey State Libertarians Convention. And we had played the same place at Rutgers last year without any problem. But it seems like as we're ratcheting up the exposure of crimes against we the people, while there are groups out there that hate America and hate everything that America is, and that goes for our rights. Back in the 90s, we were very big supporters of the Second Amendment, and we beat back the commie mommies who tried to basically deny us our rights to self-protection and, you know, being able to overthrow a tyrannical government. And now it seems like the same groups want to attack the free speech, free thought issue, where if you're not kowtowing to them and saying everything politically correct for these cultural communists, then they start to call you the name-calling. They start to make you non-people by calling you racist or anti-Semites or whatever boogeyman words. It's almost as bad as trying to call you a pederast or a pedophile.
Right.
Right. So basically, you played at this same venue for the same convention the year before without a hitch and without a peep from anybody, and now this year you were canceled and banned at Rutgers?
Right, because of the pressure brought on by these politically correct, or they like to hide behind names like anti-racist activists, when they're not anti-racist, they're only anti their perceived view of what racism is. In fact, they're more like anti-American race agitators. they're totally, you know, if they were consistent with their anti-racism, then I would expect to see anti-hip-hop groups up, groups exposing the hate lyrics in hip-hop acts.
Right.
Or, you know, it's like, it seems anything white and to the right is what these folks want to attack, or anything that's patriotic or pro-American or pro-rights. It's, what got us on the ADL's hit list is, look, people go to jail for the thought crimes, for having a difference of opinion. We have the new Inquisition, and the Inquisitors are those that are making you bow on the altar of Holy Christianity, that if you do not kowtow to them and say, like, 6 million, the mythical number that they keep telling us with, if you don't say that and you don't say everything by the script, for the script, about the script, then they make you a non-person. Or some people are jailed, like David Irving got 3 years for what?
Well,
basically something he said in 1987. They kept it on the books, so like when he went to visit Austria back in December, they arrested him, threw him in the jail. So now he's doing 3 years. For
yeah,
what?
Yeah, yeah.
A difference of opinion.
Right, for expressing his ideas.
If you want to deny the existence of Christ, go for it. I'm not out there creating laws to say, like, you have to say that Christ existed. That's between you and God. But when you tell me that I have to believe in your specific version of Holy Christianity, excuse me, I have too many questions and too many facts that we've come up with that go counter to everything that's been sold to us.
Wow.
So once the lie starts to crumble, it's got to die, because, you know what, I'm tired of seeing my friends, historians. These are nonviolent people that are in jail because of their thoughts, of their speech, and that's got to go. This is not American. But if Ted Kennedy has his way, he's going to get his hate crimes legislation shoved down our throats. He almost was successful last fall.
Yeah, he's not the only one. So, hey, well, tell us, down there at Rutgers, what role did a group called the One People's Party, the OPP, and it's specifically...
One People's Project.
Or One People's... Is it project
yeah.
or party?
Yeah, it's project.
Okay, and specifically a guy named Daryl Lamont Jenkins. What role did they play in stopping your performance?
Well, he seems to be the lead agitator for the group based out of New Jersey. And there's a couple other websites that say that he's an ex-New Jersey cop that was preaching black Marxist rhetoric as a police officer, trying to get the rest of the black Americans on the force to, you know, be hateful like he is. And they basically kicked him out of the force. So at that time, groups like the Southern Poverty Law Center, Southern Wiesenthal Center, Anti-Defamation League, thought that this would be a good candidate to use as their new brown shirts, you know, no pun intended.
Right.
Okay, I did look on the One People's Project website, and I noticed they have a rogues gallery there. They have a list in alphabetical order of names of people who they don't like. And I thought it very funny, very curious, that their list sort of mirrors what is on the ADL's extremist list. Are they
exactly.
a front
so
for
you
the
can tell
ADL?
Who their intelligence on is, you know, where they get all their garbage. I mean, the stuff that they printed about us is like, it's 70-80% of it is lies. It has nothing to do with us, but if the ADL prints it, well, they'll reprint it.
Well,
then
listen,
they have
Paul,
the little minions that keep reprinting it on their website. So.
Paul, they say that this list originated on another website. That's their words, on another website in 1997, but they fail to identify which website it is, and it looks like it's the ADL.
Of course. And one of the characters that hangs out with the OPP gang, if you go to his MySpace page, you'll see a more sleaze character from the Southern Perversion Law Center on the front page. So it's like, you know who they're tied into. They got Simon Wiesenthal on the front page of this cat site.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, these aren't American lovers. These are the ones who want to balkanize the country.
Uh-huh.
These are the folks they call the Minutemen, the Minute Clan.
Right.
All because we want the government to enforce our borders.
Yeah.
And when we were playing at the Minutemen rally back, you know, February 25th, we opted to go there since we got our gate canceled at Rutgers. Our buddy J.K. Johnson from Sierra Times and from the Ohio State Militia, a black American brother, he got them on video basically saying, like, we're proud members of the Communist Workers' Party. We don't believe or we do not recognize any borders of a nation. And we feel that any worker around the world has the right to your job.
Unbelievable.
Like, okay, who hates America? What have I done or the band has done to say that we want any special treatment that our race or our... Where have you ever heard me say anything of racial superiority or racial supremacy? Nothing has ever come out of our mouths even closely to that.
Well, speaking of that, Paul,
expose America enemies, and that's what they hate.
Right. Yeah.
Well, speaking of which, the media blitz that ensued after this, you've been accused of being not only anti-Semitic and racist, but a Holocaust denier. Please address the preposterousness of these accusations.
Okay, let's hit the racist charges first. Again, because of our support for Minutemen, we're not Minutemen ourselves, but we always align ourselves with groups that are trying to be good for America.
Right.
Okay, so he called us racist. But, you know, the Dumbos did do the research first when two of the people in the band, myself and Richie, the drummer, are half Hispanic, okay? I love Mexicans. I go see my family once a year for 2 to 3 weeks at a time. It's like, have these people ever been to Mexico? It's like, I hate that they even use the illegals as a tool to push their agenda, okay? When it's like, if they really cared about these Mexicans, they would go with me to Washington, D.C. to demand that NAFTA and CAFTA get overturned, the agreement,
mm-hmm.
because we're all NAFTA economic refugees.
That's right.
Okay, so I'm not the racist. I'm the one who loves my fellow country, plus the country that my father's from, okay? Who was a legal migrant that came here, immigrant.
Right. Right.
Okay, so the anti-Semite charges, it was really funny when I went to the lamestream press interview with Chris Jordan from Home Tribune News, and I brought my friend Barry Weinstein, you know? If I'm an anti-Semite, I'm supposed to hate Jews, right? But here I come with one of my closest brother that goes to half of our gigs. I love him because he's American. He's fought for father's rights issues.
He also happens to be Jewish.
He went to jail for 18 months. I was there when they sentenced him. I was there to pick him up. Okay? I'm there because I love him as my American brother, not because he's Jewish. Okay? But when we went to this interview, Chris Jordan's stuff kind of like dropped like, this does not compute. You're supposed to be anti-Semite. Like, no, you idiot. I'm just anti those who want to destroy my country, those who want to deny me my rights, those who want special rights.
Right. You're cited as speaking out, being very vocal on issues such as the Holocaust. You question the events of the Holocaust, the official version, on the war on terror, on our American border with Mexico. So basically, these are hot button issues that the ADL and the Southern Poverty Law Center have problems with, and they tend to attack the messenger rather than the message. And I noticed your point, the issues you raised were not refuted. They simply chose to smear you and the band, which is typical.
Trying to kill the messenger so that the message doesn't get out.
Right.
Like, they pick on the wrong minorities to call white supremacists, really. I mean, look, I love the white culture that gave us a political foundation, all right? It wasn't the Spanish, it wasn't the African, it wasn't the Asian, it was British and Scottish common law, and I'm not either British or Scottish, but I can still appreciate the foundation, the roots of the common law that gave us the Constitution of today. Okay? That's not a racial statement. I'm proud of that, but I'm not one that says, like, my culture is the only culture that can be. No. But if you're going to be American, learn the language, okay? When I go to Mexico and I want to do business with the business and I call them up and I listen to the automated attendant, there isn't anybody on the other end going, "Hey, busca número dos para inglés," you know? So you either speak the language or you don't do business or you don't get done what you need being done. So there's nothing wrong with trying to keep a culture together. Language, border, okay? And there's one other term that, you know, needs to be paramount if we're going to stay a nation.
Yeah. Well, Paul, in the news today is Hillary Clinton, and she gave a speech yesterday, I guess, about illegal immigration, and she said that this new legislation was mean-spirited. She had her multicultural supporters behind her. She said that she wanted to remove all the harsh penalties. And then she started quoting scripture and saying that even Jesus would be arrested today under these new laws. What do you think about this woman?
Dude, she panders to the lowest common denominator of what America is not.
Right.
Right.
She's been doing it before she got to the presidency. She did the same crap in Arkansas. You know, she's part of the mafia, man. You know,
she
part
is.
Of the clique that runs the White House, runs the Congress. There are no two parties, you know. But she's the face of the supposed opposition to Bush. It's like, she would probably love Arnold Spinkler's version of the amnesty bill that they're trying to shove down our throats. And for her to have to pontificate and say all that she did, that you just told me, it's garbage, man.
It is.
I'm going to read you a quote you made to this Chris Jordan fellow that wrote an article about you, and then I'm going to read his response. He said, this is what you said. "I have 8 friends in German jails right now and 1 in Austria because they had the audacity to question the Holocaust." Chris Jordan, in his article, writes, right after your quote, he writes, "One gets the sense that to Tappetti, the Holocaust deniers are free speech martyrs." You see how they twist and contort words?
Well,
it's
they are free speech martyrs. They're in jail. My God, the livelihoods have been encumbered.
For expressing their ideas.
If you're going to put me in jail because of what I thought, then, well, they are free speech martyrs.
Yeah. Well, in your opinion, after this whole thing now, it's finally starting to die down, but how do you think the media portrayed this blackballing of Poker Face, especially the Rutgers student newspaper, which is called the Daily Targum?
What are you asking, brother?
Well, what's your overall impression of how a student newspaper at Rutgers, how do you think they portrayed you in the band?
Well, the Targum did two pieces, and the guy, Morantz is his last name, the second piece that he actually did, you know, with me, it was the most balanced, if I could say that, out of all the articles from the left side of the table. And, look, they're misinformed. They're propagandized. They're indoctrinated into thinking that the world is the Zionist version of the world. And so it's kind of tough for them to distance us from it and having any other viewpoint, because they're not paid to think. They pay to get indoctrinated and programmed and have the Pavlovian dog response of semi-sensitivity. And you just hope that, you know, once they leave college and they start thinking on their own, that they finally can see life for themselves as it truly is.
Yeah, you know what it looks like to me? It looks like a deliberate campaign by an ADL front group to target college-age demographics, the college-age audience, and condition them into this pro-Zionist mindset, and they're definitely pushing an ADL agenda. There's no question about it. They even come out with this painting Michael Collins Piper as a Holocaust denier and an anti-Semitic extremist who's known for his bizarre conspiracy theories. Yet, Michael Collins Piper has cited mainstream sources like 1,000 in one of his books. Most of them are mainstream sources. I mean, have they even done their homework? They paint everybody with this broad brush. Questioning the Zionist agenda is not denying the Holocaust.
Well, look, don't let the facts get in the way of the truth, okay?
Yeah.
You know, that's basically the problem is they're not, look, groups like OPP and ARA, anti-racist activists, they're front groups. So they're not to create a better America. They're there to balkanize America, to incite racial hatred. Because, look, Poker Face has always said, if we can't vote these criminals out of office, then we're left with the Second Amendment rights to force them out of office, okay? We want a revolution. What they're pushing for and what the elitists would love nothing more than is to have a civil war where we end up killing ourselves, okay, instead of focusing on the few that are really screwing it up for the many. And, you know, we pushed this thing called the 80% solution for years. It's, in fact, now that we the people rallies, the first time we even brought it up, where we need to set our heart, as Americans, for a better America, we need to set aside our hardcore 20% beliefs that you and I, well, you and I will probably agree on 95%, but for the general population, the 20% that we can't agree upon, whether it's gender, race, creed, color, whatever, and come together as Americans and beat back the tyrannical federal beast that is destroying all of our rights and Americanism, because once we destroy that beast, does the 20% that really gets used against us, that the agitators always focus and hype up the most,
yeah, exactly,
is that really going to be a problem after we vanquish the main enemy of freedom? I feel that those 20% are really going to go away to nothingness, and we're going to be able to live in harmony with each other. And if we can't, we'll address it at that time.
Uh-huh.
Let's not kill ourselves right now so that we are a weak in front, so when the Federalists want to impose their police state, their martial law upon us, there's nothing to fight back with. It's like, no, let's galvanize all of our strength, you know, as one big fist and smack this child upside the head, because in the political relationship that we're supposed to have, we the people are the parents. Government's the child. Government is the servant, and the servant needs to be reminded who is the parent in this relationship, and if it takes a revolution, a big fist of people smacking upside the head, then his time has come, and it's come up, it's coming now.
Right. I sent that Chris Jordan fellow an article that was published in the latest review of the London Review of Books. It's written by two academians, one from the University of Chicago, one from Harvard's Kenney School, and this is what they say, and I wanted to say this to you because it goes back to the Rutgers incident. Silencing skeptics by organizing blacklists and boycotts, or by suggesting that critics are anti-Semites, violates the principle of open debate upon which democracy depends. And I sent it to that guy who wrote that hit piece on you to give him some food for thought.
Well, you know what? I gave Chris Jordan the one issue from the Barnes Review that destroys all of Hooksianity once and for all. I mean, showing examples of camp script, money that you know, supposedly Jews that are being set up for execution get to use within the camp system.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? The actual numbers from Auschwitz were the place outside the place have gone from 4 million down to 1.5 million, and they're going to get revised again to 700,000. I gave that issue to Chris, knowing full well that the dude would never look at it, okay? Because the truth is beyond them. It goes against everything that they've been brainwashed. So why would they, like, look at something that's the truth in their hands and go, like, oh, wow, that is the truth. Oh, my God, there's the truth again. Honestly, he didn't read it because he would have printed the garbage he did with the second piece he did about us.
Yeah. That's right. Well, Paul, you mentioned this stuff a little bit earlier, but give us your thoughts on the economic crimes that are related to NAFTA, to GATT, to the World Trade Organization, to CAFTA, and hopefully that it never passes the FTAA, the Free Trade Area of the Americas.
Yeah. Look, all those agreements they sold to We the People on, that we were going to increase our exports to Mexico, that we were going to decrease our imports from Mexico, none of that's happened, okay? Those bills have nothing to do with We the People, what's best for us. Those agreements are basically cutting out market shares that only the rich elite get to continue making money hand over the fist, while the rest of us become slave wage earners. Look, I don't begrudge the Mexican brothers down there for wanting to come up here to earn a livable wage so that they can feed their families, feed themselves. But Vicente Fox is using our porous borders as a safety release valve, which would either be a social revolution in Mexico, where the dictatorship that runs that, the oligarchical 27 families that run Mexico, like the personal fiefdom, would get killed, okay, and replaced hopefully with a constitutional government. I would love to give them our American constitution, since we don't seem to be using it very much right now.
Yeah, you're right. You're exactly right. Well, Paul, I got one more question for you, but before we go, once again, give out your website address and let people know what they can find there.
Oh, we've been told that our website is thick. We got, come visit the forum board. Educate yourselves. If you want to know the lies behind 911, we got some of the best collection of links that you can spend days, weeks, months investigating. If you want to, if you believe the Holocaust went down as it did, great. Come debate us. The poster there. Read for yourself. Learn. Don't be afraid of the truth. If you like rock, come listen to our music. You know. Like Lisa said, the lyrics are pro-America, they're pro-rights. That's what we are, you know, and that is our agenda, an American agenda. And if you want to find out who hates America, find out who's beating up on us.
That's right.
So come to the website, punkface.com.
Shoot us
an email. Let us know that you're out there. Stop by our guest book on the front page. Drop some love. We'll return it.
Yeah, and that's www.pokerface.com. Well, my last question is, what effect do you think this incident at Rutgers has had on Poker Face, where you've been labeled anti-Semitic and a hate fan? What do you think? How do you think this is going to affect you guys?
Well, you know, on the short term, for those that are clueless, they basically knocked the gig out from us. Okay, big deal, you know. It's only happened one other time, and that was when we were still doing business with the Free Republic, and that was before, you know, we realized that they sold out to the Zion Nazis. But for the clueless, you know, it's not going to make any difference. They're not going to listen to our music anyway. But for those that didn't really care about us much or kind of knew about us on the radar, it brought us up in the awareness because we're being attacked. We're being attacked for the same values that they have. So what's happened is a lot of groups from around the country have come out of the woodwork and given us support, whether it's just verbal or, you know, buying our music or spreading awareness that we exist by posting it on the website or sharing it with friends. So it's done a lot for us.
But you know what? I think that you're a target now because you've become more well-known, your music is more popular, your message is getting out to wider and wider circles, and I think that can only be described as a great, great thing.
Like you said, Lisa, it is, you know, so we have to take the punches and you know, the abuse from the American haters, but you know what, in the end, in turn, they've done us a big favor. They've done us more of a favor than any of the pro-right groups have done for us, in the sense that, you know, when you talk to your own, it's like you're talking to the converted. You're preaching to the converted.
Right.
But when another group that has no clue what you're about, and they try to call you, we're not your supporters, like, dude, if you knew anything about the band, we hate all forms of isms, socialism, Bolshevism, Jacobism, neoconism, doesn't matter. But to say that we're Nazi supporters, please. Now, there's been a few white sites that have, you know, picked up on our music and appreciate the message from it. And we'll talk to every group that comes and talks about Poker Face. We don't have a fear. But we don't change our agenda or what our views are. If anything, we try to hit them with the 80% solution to the ones that aren't the extreme leadership that aren't reachable. now, okay?
Yeah.
They are the new large minority, but as the government sees them, they're the group that can be discriminated against. So there are legitimate white bitches, and people are going to white sites to find camaraderie, common area where they can bitch about. So if they're bringing up the subjects, we don't have a fear of talking about anything, okay? But it was funny, like, one of OPP's, well, not just one, but a few came to our website after he sent out his hit pieces and said, I don't get it. I don't get what he's saying about it. If anything, your city looks patriotic and forefathers. I thought I was going to come over to your site to see Sikh Heil and swastikas and hanging the Negroes on it. And I'm not finding anything even close to that.
Right.
Like, well, of course not, because that's not what we're about.
Paul, we're proud of what you're doing, and say hello to the band for us.
Yeah,
too.
And we need more fearlessness like you have in this country. So just thanks for coming on Wing TV. Everybody stay tuned because you're going to hear a song now called Prayer for America.
It's a beautiful, beautiful song.
That's right. It's off Poker Face's album, Made in America. And Paul, keep up the great work.
Well, back at you. Both of you have done an enormous stride, especially in the truth community, okay? Oh. And keep doing what you're doing. And both of you are fearless, and I love what you do. So you have our support as always.
Thanks,
we'll
Paul.
We'll be seeing you out on the circuit there, Paul,
That's
one
right.
of these gigs. Yeah.
Until
Thank
tomorrow.
You for having us on, okay?
That's right.
Thank
Until
you.
Tomorrow, keep your eyes open. Tune in tomorrow for our Friday show. We'll see you then.
Stay tuned for Prayer for America by Poker Face.
Love you, I've been I cry for my people in a time of tragedy. I just want some answers. So the truth.